Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now, I will turn the meeting over to your host, Alexander Ravenel. Sir, you may begin.
Great, thank you. Hi, everyone. My name is Alex Ravenel. I'm with Deloitte. I'm project manager for the operating committee. This is the second and latest in a monthly series of updates from the CAT operating committee regarding the current status of the CAT. Similar to last time, I think everyone recognizes that we may not have the answers to everything, but the SROs do want to provide as much transparency as possible, and to that end are doing these monthly updates to provide an update in terms of what is moving. Could we go to the next slide, please? Thank you. All right, so today we've got a number of things we're planning to discuss here. Number one, for those who may be new, maybe haven't joined these before, we'll do a very quick rundown of the major CAT requirements just as a quick refresher. We'll do a quick overview of the recent activity from the operating committee perspective. We'll give an update on the implementation process and the timelines associated with that. We'll give an update on some of the PII discussions that have been ongoing. We'll give an update on the industry member tech specs, including an industry member tech spec working group that involves members of the industry. We'll talk about the advisory committee and its role on the SRO working groups, and then we'll talk about how to stay tuned to get more information. We'll have room for questions at the end, and we're going to ask folks to submit questions via the WebEx. Should be a box in the bottom right of your screen. I can't promise we'll get to every question or have answers to every question, but we'll do our best. As I said, the SROs very much want to make sure they're providing as much transparency as they have into the process and into where things stand. We've got a number of folks here to speak with you today, folks from the SROs, several of the SROs, in addition to a couple of the advisory committee members, as well as thesis. With that, I will hand it off to Jeff Wells of SIBO to kick things off with a quick refresher on the CAT requirements. Jeff, hand it to you.
Thank you very much, Alex. I'm Jeff Wells from SIBO, the technical project manager on this project for SIBO. I'm just going to talk about this very briefly in case there are people that are new to CAT. This is a requirement that springs from a long-ago rule, 613. The essential idea is that all equities and orders, lifecycle events, will be reported into a single system. It's much greater in terms of requirements than similar systems such as OATS, and it includes such elements as quotes and market maker orders, and it's expected to provide linkages between representative orders and customer orders. So its breadth is considerable. Firms reporting are going to need to report all sorts of information to satisfy those requirements, including identifiers to help link these records, which will support the CAT itself. In addition, a very important element of the CAT is that there are many customer identifying data points that are intended to be included. So this will help regulators to understand which firms are doing which particular activities as soon as possible. And unlike OATS, there are no exemptions from these general reporting requirements. So as you can see on the slide, there's a bunch of things which are reportable events which are related to orders mostly. And then on the right-hand side of the slide there, you can see there's a bunch of stuff related to identifying customers and customer accounts. So those are the most important things just to understand in general. There's a ton of information on the website that you can look at to get up to speed if you need to. With that, I will pass over to Jonathan Redwine from New York Stock Exchange to discuss more recent SRO activity.
Thanks, Jeff. My name is Jonathan Redwine. I work in the legal department of the NYSE and am on several of the committees and involved in lots of discussions around the CAT. We're having a lot of back and forth with the industry, with the plan processor, and with the SEC, and So I just want to give a quick report on some recent activity that the SROs have been undertaking. We submitted filings to the SEC to withdraw some of our proposed rules regarding the retirement of reporting requirements that would be rendered duplicative by the CAT, and also proposed fees for industry members, as well as proposed participant fees to fund the CAT. We just want to reiterate, though, that we're committed to retiring duplicative reporting requirements and to establishing equitable industry member fees. We know that that's a point of strong focus from the industry, and the SROs are, you know, every day mindful of that. We have unanimously approved a CISO candidate, so we hope that that will help us to move forward with the plan processor. SROs, Thesis CAT, and the Advisory Committee have been jointly conducting a detailed review of open interpretive items. We get those from various industry members and from various sources, mostly relating to industry technical specifications, and we understand, you know, how important it is to industry implementation, and we're working to provide as much guidance as possible. An updated draft of the participant tech specs, which is version 1.5, have been approved by the operating committee and are available on the CAT NMS plan website. So that is all I have for my part, and I will pass it along.
Great. Thanks, Jonathan. This is Paul McKinney from the Market Regulation Department in FINRA. I'm going to just give you some information on the implementation, a bit of an update. Some of this information was communicated in the previous sessions that we've had, but I just wanted to start by, you know, most people may know that we did file an extension request back on November 13th of 2017. That extension request is posted to the catnmsplan.com website if you're interested in taking a look at it. As of this time, the SEC has not yet approved that request, but we are moving forward and working towards the milestone dates that are laid out in that that request. We certainly recognize that the, you know, not having specific timeframes is not ideal, and the lack of clarity is not ideal. We understand that there are planning and budgeting processes that the industry needs to perform to go into this, and we are working with the SEC to get as much clarity as possible for this project. But that being said, the slide here does lay out the milestone dates as laid out in the request letter, and the key dates really start on October of 2018. At that point, that's when the industry member technical specifications are anticipated to be completed. That would be for both the order data as well as the customer data. Prior to that time frame, there will be iterative processes in order to get those documents together and finalized. From that point, the industry would have about a year to develop their systems in anticipation of the testing window, which we see starting on mid-October of 2019. Firms would then have, the large broker-dealers would then have 6 months of testing, and that testing should be completed in mid-April of 2020, with the goal of starting to report into the production environment on April 13th of 2020. That pattern kind of follows for the small industry members as well, but they'll have an additional year. We would expect them to start testing, you know, around October of 2020 with the goal of reporting into the production environment in April of 2021. And then the last two dates there on the slide talk about the error rate. So the error rate, the anticipated error rate when a firm starts reporting into the system would be 5%. And then the firms would then have a year to lower that error rate down to 1%. And that would, you know, get it in line more with current reporting systems such as OATS. So the brokered large industry members would have from April of 2020 to April of 2021 to reduce those errors from 5 to 1%. Then the small broker dealers would have from April 2021 to April 2022 to also get their error rates reduced from 5 to 1%. So that's what I had for you today in terms of the implementation update, and I'm going to pass it along to John Croper, who's going to talk about PII.
Thanks, Paul. Good afternoon. This is John Croper from the FINRA Market Regulation Department. Just want to talk a little bit about where we stand with respect to PII and CAT. As Jeff mentioned at the beginning, a significant aspect of CAT is the customer and customer account information system, which is a database which is going to be created, which will contain information regarding customer and customer accounts and customer information for all broker-dealer firms that need to be reported to CAT initially and kept updated. So with respect to that, that obviously raises the concern about the security of the PII contained in that information, and that is something that's definitely been a focus of the SROs and thesis in terms of developing CAT. And it's been an issue that's been in the public for quite some time. We're sensitive to that, and as a consequence, we are looking at alternatives to see whether we might be able to meet the goals of CAT in terms of being able to enhance our ability to conduct surveillance of information in the marketplace, including information regarding customer activity, while capturing less PII than Rule 613 currently requires. Therefore, we've been having some conversations in the context of a working group under the CAT Operating Committee in order to look at potential alternatives. Some of those alternatives revolve around, for example, not including non-natural person PII in the customer-customer account database. Others include not having that database and rather maintaining blue sheets or adding information to the order information that's reported to the order database of CAT. But we are currently looking at a number of alternatives, meeting as a group along with the advisory committee members who are participating in this working group. And we are looking in our next step to get broader input from industry members and industry trade groups on these approaches. Therefore, I would ask you to be sort of on the lookout for requests for input on these approaches and remind firms that, as Paul had mentioned, that there is an October 2018 date for these specifications to be finalized and to look at iterations of those as they come along in the coming months. Thank you.
All right.
And I'll pass it on to Shelley Bolin.
All right, thanks, John. This is Shelley Bolin. I'm also with Market Regulation at FINRA, and I'm going to give an update on the industry member technical specifications, in particular, more specifically, the order reporting specifications rather than the customer and account specifications. So as I'm sure many of you are aware, the initial draft of the specifications were published back in September for industry review and comment. We did receive, and Thesis CAT and the SROs received a large number of comments. One thing that I'm sure everyone was aware in that initial draft is that it did not contain the information for submission process, feedback, corrections, testing, and some of the CAT reporter resources. So those parts of the specification have been drafted, and we are anticipating that those will be published on CATNMS.com on February 15th. So we would invite everyone to take a look at those as soon as that is published, and please review and provide feedback as soon as possible through that email mechanism on the website. So with respect to what was published back in September, like I said, we did receive Enthesis CAT, and the participants received a large number of comments on a variety of different aspects of the specifications, and we have been collaboratively working through all of that feedback. Obviously, a number of important issues were raised. Many of them require interpretive analysis to be done to determine exactly what is required under the plan, how things will be defined, how definitions should be applied, things like the trading day definition, what kind of standard values are needed for things like handling instructions, the types of events that are included in the specification that may differ from what's currently required by OATS. So all of these are being carefully considered, and rather than publishing again on February 15th, we would rather take some additional time to complete more analysis so that we can address as many of these issues as possible in the next iteration of the specification. As we're going to talk about in just a minute, we're trying to expand the scope of industry input on all of those different issues so we can, like I said, address as many of the big ticket items as possible. There were a number of issues and questions that were raised that we do actually have answers for at this point. We have drafted some FAQs that are in the final stages of review. Hopefully those will be published in short order in the coming weeks. So there'll be some issues there that will be resolved, and we can have some hopefully finality around those. We are considering in terms of normalization, so this is an issue that many of you may have heard about or been asked through some of the FIF or SIFMA to comment on, and this goes back to, I mentioned it just a moment ago, on how handling instructions will be captured and whether that should be done through standardized values like we currently use in OATS or if three-form text fields would work. So that's all being analyzed. We've asked for feedback from the industry, and we'll be looking to finalize the approach on that as well in this coming version of the specifications. John had talked about the PII and the customer and account reporting system that is currently, as it is currently required under 613, we are anticipating that we will be publishing those specifications, the initial draft of those, in May. But with that being said, as John talked through, there are many outstanding issues about how we're going to deal with the PII, so that is sort of a moving target at this point, but we are planning as of right now for a May date on that. And as always, we recognize that the industry needs adequate implementation time, and hopefully the time frame that Paul laid out and what we've put in our exemptive relief request will build in the adequate time that the industry needs to do that. So hitting back on working through all the interpretive questions, all the important issues that have been raised, and even once an interpretive answer has been landed upon, then it opens up the door to the implementation issues and all that has to go into actually implementing once a particular issue has been resolved. So if we could move to the next slide, what we have done is we've discussed through our interpretive working group that you're going to hear about a little bit more in just a minute is the advisory committee members from the industry have been instrumental in providing very valuable feedback on the different issues. However, they are a limited group of individuals, and it becomes apparent pretty quickly we need, as broad of representation and input from the industry as we can get. Plus, the advisory committee members are subject to confidentiality agreements and things that are discussed among the participants. So what we have concluded is that perhaps the best approach is to create a new working group that we could expand to a broader group of industry members that would not be subject to confidentiality, the same confidentiality restrictions. And that, in addition to a
participant chair of this working group, which will be myself, that we would also like that to be co-chaired by a industry member. And Judy McDonald from our advisory committee has graciously agreed to co-chair a new group that we're establishing, an industry technical specifications working group. And so I'm going to turn it over to Judy so she can walk through what the plan construct of this group is, who the participants will be, and how we envision it working. So, Judy, I would turn it over to you.
Thank you, Shelley. I'm Judy McDonald from SIG, where I work in our technology group, and I'm very excited about the formation of this group, which incorporates industry suggestions. So the idea, as Shelley has stated, is after we have interpretive guidance on items, we will work, this group's charter will be to work to make recommendations on implementation topics. And we know that these implementation topics are both complicated and deeply important to the ultimate quality and usability of the CAT reporting data. So as Shelley outlined, the working group will be comprised of a core group of consistent participants across all of our meetings. So this includes advisory committee members who will be CAT reporters or service providers. It will include specific representatives from the industry organizations, from FIS, SIFMA, and STA. Of course, it will include representation from the SROs, the SEC, and Thesis CAT. In addition to those consistent members of the working group, there will be topic-specific participants, and these are the subject matter experts from the industry. These subject matter experts will be invited, and they will attend these dedicated sessions. The idea is to have the right people involved, to have the right information in front of us, and to keep the group small enough so that we can make good progress. And again, as Shelley mentioned, we will not be bound by confidentiality agreements. So that will allow open sharing of background information, framing, and certainly probing questions. And even where appropriate, the subject matter experts and the industry groups, as part of their research, may solicit broader feedback from the industry groups. The idea would be after there's a time period of the subject matter experts performing research or analysis or conducting studies, that they will bring that information back to this working group, and we will work together collectively to drive toward recommendations. And ultimately, we hope to have efficient resolution of the issues. Our first organizational meeting is scheduled for this Thursday, and in that meeting, we'll prioritize our first set of topics that we already have interpretive guidance on, and that set of topics was strongly influenced by prior industry feedback. So in addition to this working group, the operating committee has created various smaller targeted working groups, and Manisha will walk through these various groups.
Thanks, Judy. I'm Manisha Kimmel, Chief Regulatory Officer, Wealth Management at Thomson Reuters. I'm also the Advisory Committee Chair of the CAT NMS plan. So as part of the SRO's enhanced governance structure, they have broken out into a variety of working groups and topic-oriented meetings, committees, as you can see on this slide. So these groups typically meet weekly, and they're all led by SRO chairs or co-chairs. The slide also shows which advisory committee members sit on the different groups. And so earlier this year, the SROs asked for one or two members of the advisory committee to join each of the listed groups. You'll notice that participation in the interpretive working group was extended to additional AC members that are either CAT reporters or service providers. The compliance subcommittee is open to the full AC as per the CAT NMS plan, and the industry outreach group is also open to all AC members. So these groups are responsible for making recommendations on their specific area of focus to the operating committee, which has the final decision-making authority. All members of the advisory committee participate on the operating committee. Just to give you a sense of how the groups work, I'll briefly walk through what the interpretive working group does and then ask Jeff Wells to walk through what the other groups do. So the interpretive working group, both Shelley and Judy have talked a little bit about this group. And this group focuses primarily on interpretive questions that have come out of a review of the industry questions on CAT implementation. So AC members, as part of this working group, have had the opportunity to comment with their perspective on the issues and also highlight which issues we believe are important for broader industry feedback. So oftentimes, neither Rule 613 nor the plan specifically dictate how specific functionality should be implemented. And so we expect those issues to wind up in the industry member tech spec working group for discussion on the most efficient way to implement. Jeff, would you like to walk through the rest of the working groups?
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much, Manisha. The other ones, some of them are possibly less mysterious. Compliance subcommittee, of course, looking after compliance policies, which John Ramsey will be leading and opening up to the full advisory committee. The steering working group is really the group where we look at how the whole project is going together and look to basically navigate ahead. So we're talking about just about everything potentially in the steering working group. On the industry outreach working group, that is the group that I head along with Paul McKenney, and the idea here is to make sure that we're communicating well both out and in with the full industry. And of course, we organize things like this industry webinar, and that is open to the full advisory committee. The normalization working group sounds a little bit odd, but in fact, it's really central to many of the things that the Consolidated Audit Trail is focused on doing, and that is bringing in data and normalizing it and trying to put things into groups so that it's very useful for regulators and coming up with sometimes legal reasoning as well as technical feedback as to how to go ahead with that. PII, we were talking about that earlier, and John was describing very well what a dynamic situation that is and how we're basically tuning in to come up with some kind of solution that works for regulators without compromising as much PII as originally contemplated. And then the last group there is the sandbox working group, which is probably the most mysterious to everybody. This group is in fact talking about how the regulators would have resources in probably a cloud environment to be able to do their analysis on the data that they can see. So really that rounds out the main working groups and subcommittees here. And as you can see, the structure is created so that we can bring in advice when we need it, and we're very, very pleased, actually, that these people are devoting their time to help us out in that regard. At this juncture, I think I will pass over to Thesis CAT, to Todd Golub, who will be able to describe how you can interact with the CAT and follow what's going on with the whole process. Over to you, Todd.
Thank you, Jeff. Good afternoon. I'm Todd Golub, Head of Product Management at Thesis CAT. CAT-NMS has established a couple of means for the industry to get information on developments. First, as many of you may be aware, it has established a public website, as you can see a page of it here, where amongst other useful info is plan and implementation information. A lot of the information that we're talking about here, as discussed, either is or will be posted to this website. As is pointed out on the slide, and as some of you may not be aware, there is, in fact, an email subscription service available where you can, in fact, sign up for CAT NMS plan notifications. As it shows on the website, there's a subscribe link in the banners. As you might expect, you would receive notifications of postings of specifications and FAQs, as well as invitations to webinars like this. We believe it's very important for you to take advantage of this feature, as this email distribution is the primary method of sharing material updates to the industry. So I'll just repeat that and just say that I encourage you all to sign up, please, so we can ensure to get the information out to you. Moving to the next slide, Here we have our second means of communication, the CAT Help Desk. Agents can be reached by phone and email from 9 to 5 on weekdays, answering questions such as CAT-MS public website, media relations as needed, the go-live dates, technical specifications, publications, what have you, and the items, obviously, that are listed here on the slide. And with that, I will hand back to Alex.
Great. Thank you. All right. So I'd like to do a little bit of Q&A now. We've got a number of questions here. Please feel free to submit more as we're going through this. Just process question first. There are several questions as to whether or not the deck will be posted up on the website. Yes, it will. Typically, we post these up a few days after the event, so you can go back and check the website. There are also a couple questions about the exemptive relief request itself and whether that where that can be found. The answer is also up on the website. So what I'd like to do, I'm going to go through this list. There are a few items here I can answer. I'm going to distribute some of the questions out to some of the speakers you just heard here. First of all, there are several questions all asking sort of variations of the theme of will there be an extension for broker-dealers? What will that date be? Do we know when the SEC is going to act? Several different variations of that. For that response, I'd actually like to turn it over to Mike Simon, who is the chair of the operating committee. Mike, you want to take a stab at answering those?
I'll take a stab. Thank you, Alex. As we stated in the December webinar, the SROs made the submission to the SEC in November asking for exemptive relief in the dates that I believe Paul walked through on slide 5. There is no update that we can provide to you on those dates or the status of the exemptive relief. The SROs and the advisory committees have not been in any substantive discussions with either the staff or the commissioners about receiving a formal extension. So as we stated then and restate now, the November 15th, 2018 date for large broker-dealers to report will not be a live date. That will not occur. As to what the real dates will be, the dates on slide 5 are the dates that the CAT-NMS LLC with the SROs and the advisory committee are working towards. There's a possibility if we can shorten those dates that we will. There's a possibility that the SEC may issue some sort of formal extension at some point. But at this point, we can't tell you that will happen, or if so, if they do, when it would happen. So the best guidance we can provide, and we know that it's really not as good as it could or should be, is that use the dates on slide 5 as the current operative dates.
All right. Thanks, Mike. All right. Going through this, there are a couple of questions about the advisory committee process, why they're under NDA, and how that works, and sort of generally how they're going to keep everyone posted in regards to the updates here. So the advisory committee members are subject to NDA, with the exception that was discussed by Shelley earlier. The reason for that is for a couple reasons. There are security discussions that are ongoing. There are financial discussions that are ongoing. Even aside from that, there are questions or discussions around surveillance needs of the SROs. Obviously, that is highly confidential, as well as implementation questions and discussions around CSIS's proprietary implementation technology. So rather than trying to bifurcate that and say some parts of any given discussion may or may not be subject to NDA, it's much more straightforward and appropriate, in fact, for all of those conversations to be restricted under NDA. Now, that said, as Shelley described, everyone recognizes, in particular for implementation questions that relate to the industry, particularly around the tech specs, there is absolutely need to be able to have broader conversations there and get that industry feedback and bring that back. And so, as Shelley mentioned, those NDA restrictions will not apply to those broader implementation conversations. There's a question here, so how do you know what your reporting responsibilities will be under CAT? I think the example is specifically for a clearing firm that doesn't originate or handle any order flow. So if you want to break this down very simply, you look at this two ways in terms of reporting obligation. Number one, are you a registered broker-dealer with FINRA or the SEC? FINRA or one of the SROs? If that is the case, then you are subject to the reporting requirements. Step two, are you handling any reportable events within the CAT. So the tech specs are out there. There is a list of reportable events included in that. Certainly, those tech specs are not final, as we discussed here, and there could absolutely be some changes to that. But the simplest way to answer this question is to look at the reportable events and determine whether or not you touch any of those events. It's entirely possible that you could be a broker-dealer that doesn't touch any of those and therefore would have any reporting requirements. So a couple questions about the CISO process and when the CISO will come on board. So I think we mentioned this a little earlier. The escrows have unanimously approved a CISO. Everyone's very excited to get the CISO on board. There are a couple of logistical items that have to be sorted out before we have a firm start date. But the short answer is as soon as possible. I think everyone's targeting the first week of March for him to be on board. There's a question, this sort of dovetails into the comment Mike had earlier around escrow reporting, so and when the escrows will start reporting. So the escrows are still working under the timelines that were put forth in the exemptive request, pushing forward towards November of this year for escrow reporting. As Mike mentioned, there's not much more guidance at the moment with regards to the broker-dealer reporting date. Everyone recognizes that is not ideal. Probably safe to say that November of 2018 is not going to be that date. But stay tuned for more details on that. All right, there's a question as to reporting of quotes and what constitutes a reportable quote. Shelley, maybe I could tee you up for this one. I know this is something that's been looked at in the interpretive working group. I'm not sure if we've got an answer, but maybe you could at least talk a little bit about process behind some of this.
Sure, and that's exactly right, Alex. We have received a number of questions that have been presented to the Interpretive Working Group on quotations and what is required to be reported under the plan. And what all I can say right now is what the plan requires, which is all bids and offers must be reported. There is, for options, the way that the plan is structured, the exchanges are the only ones who report all the quotes. The broker-dealers themselves do not also report to CAT. That is different for equities. For equity quotes, both the market maker and the exchange receiving the quote must both report. So other than that options piece about just the exchanges reporting, there are no other exemptions or relief. All proprietary orders, all bids and offers, manual or electronic, are required to be reported under the plan. However, we recognize and we did receive quite a number of comments and have heard quite a number of comments on how that practically can be implemented, particularly in the manual quote space, and that is all being taken under consideration and is being discussed in the interpretation working group. So that would be sure.
All right. So there were a couple of questions sort of governance related. Can you clarify the responsibilities of the steering working group? And question as to whether the working groups have decision-making authority, whether it has to flow back up to the operating committee. So for the first one, the steering working group, so this came out of a need for a venue for senior SRO implementation representatives to be able to discuss broader project-related topics. The operating committee it's analogous to a board. It's a decision-making body. It's not really a deliberation body. And as we got into it, we sort of recognized that we needed a venue for those senior SRO folks to be able to work through some of these issues. So that's where the steering working group came from. The steering working group, getting to the second question, does not have a decision-making authority. The plan requires that all decision-making authority flow through the operating committee. That applies generally to all of the working groups. It is possible for the operating committee to delegate that authority in some cases. But as a general matter, the working groups make recommendations to the operating committee group for ratification. All right, there's a question, have there been any changes that would allow small firms that currently have an OATS exemption to have any sort of exemption for CAT as well? I'll tee up the FINRA folks here. Paul, maybe you want to take that one?
Yeah, sure. Excuse me. Yeah, there are no exemptions or exclusions to the CAT reporting obligations as the CAT is laid out today. So in OATS today, there are both exemptions and exclusions based on business model and things like that, but those do not hold true in the CAT reporting environment. So small firms do need to, or firms that are currently having those exclusions and exemptions do have to come up with a plan to be able to report data to the CAT when their reporting time frame comes due.
Thanks, Paul. All right, there's a question as to the PII analysis process and specifically whether the system account proposal is being considered. So the SROs has seen the system proposal that is factoring into that analysis. As you might imagine, there are quite a number of moving pieces to that PII discussion, fundamentally the requirement of 613 and the plan. All the regulators need to make sure that they're able to meet their regulatory obligations as well as comply with 613. So there are a number of sort of considerations that have to go into this, but suffice to say that the SIFMA proposal is being looked at heavily. John, I know you talked about the PII. Anything you would add to that?
No, we are planning to sort of discuss with SIFMA about their proposal and just and generally, as I mentioned, we're going to talk to all the industry trade groups as well as sort of a broader audience of the industry. One thing I'd sort of just want to note as well, though, is that, you know, obviously we're working with a situation where we have a scheme that's been approved by the SEC and it's set to be implemented, and any change to that PII structure would have to be approved by the Commission.
That's right. It's a very important point. All right. There's a question about the 215 tech specs and what will be included in that, and whether it will include the interpretive issues that have been resolved. So I think the plan right now for the 215 tech specs is to release. There are, as I believe Shelley mentioned, there are some changes such as connectivity and error corrections and things to that effect that are new. The plan is to release those new sections so that everyone has a chance to look at those. The broader interpretive discussions, there are a number of those still outstanding, I don't think all of those are going to be included there. That said, we are planning to, as again I believe Shelley mentioned, there will be an interpretive FAQ that is posted. As the SROs work through these, that FAQ will be updated so folks will be able to sort of keep track of each of these interpretive items as they are worked through. And before they make their way into the specs. All right, there's a question about the withdrawal of the retirement filings and what this means. So that's primarily a procedural process. I think it's just recognition of where we are in the process right now. The SROs are required by 613 and the plan to implement a system that facilitates the retirement of duplicative reporting. They take that very seriously. There is no change to that. It is still a very high priority by everyone. But there is just recognition of where we are in the process right now. And so procedurally, it made sense to pull those filings. Certainly, it does not indicate that there will not be new filings, that there will not be retirement of duplicative systems. It's purely a procedural process. All right. There's a question as to the definition of small firm versus large firm, whether that's changed. No. So the definition of small firm versus large firm, that is actually included in the SEC rule. That's an SEC definition. So that has not changed. I believe, and don't quote me on this, I believe it's $500,000 in net capital, but that is a defined SEC definition. All
All right. I believe that takes us to the end of the questions we have received to date. I just want to say, again, thank you very much, everyone, for your time. Very much appreciate it. As noted, this is a monthly process here. There will be another one of these sometime in early March or late February. In the meantime, please stay tuned to the website. As noted, there are a number of items that we're expecting you up there in the interim before the next call, so there will be an updated draft of the tech specs for those new sections. There will also be that that interpretive FAQ posted sometime here in the near future. So thank you very much, everyone. Very much appreciate the time, and have a good rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you, speakers. That concludes today's conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect.